Chapter 1. September 1978. I rolled up to my hotel, right in the heart of the French Quarter. As I stepped out of the car, beneath the iron railings of the hotel balconies, the Crescent City sent out its bon ton roulé welcome, the rumble of a funky brass band from over in Jackson Square, mixed with a crying guitar drifting up from Bourbon Street, the scent of spicy gumbo, fresh beignets, and chicory coffee wafted through the thick, humid air like a voodoo tonic pulling you under its spell. New Orleans. I had been infatuated with the city since I was 13 years old, growing up in Canada with my ears tuned to the radio airwaves blasting out from the American South. I soaked up the rhythm and blues of Fats Domino and Smiley Lewis, then Professor Longhair, Huey Piano Smith and the Clowns, and Shirley and Lee. I got completely hooked. On top of that, this was the actual birthplace of jazz, with the amazing Louis Armstrong leading the march. What was in the water down there? Over the years, I had come to New Orleans many times as both a musician and a pilgrim. The deeper I dug in, the better it got. Eventually, I got to know all these amazing players personally. Alan Toussaint, the Meters, Big Chief Monk Boudreau, Dr. John, the Neville Brothers. These guys had a unique take on rock and roll. They were singing a different language, making feel-good music, music that celebrated itself. I rejoiced in that. The invite for this trip came from Robert De Niro, whom I had met a couple of years back through my housemate and close friend Martin Scorsese. By now, I had been living with Marty for almost 2 years. Over that time, Bob and I had gotten to enjoy each other's company. I admired Marty and Bob's director-actor relationship, which had begun with the groundbreaking Mean Streets and continued with Taxi Driver and New York, New York. For a while now, Bob had been trying to convince Marty to make a movie based on the life of boxing legend Jake LaMotta, in which Bob would play Jake. Marty hadn't committed yet, but Bob was all in. He had already been working with Jake on mastering his ways, his boxing technique, the sound and rhythm of his voice, even his walk. It was dedication, a quiet study. Bob had his eye on it all. It was the first time I had ever seen an actor taking a role in like that. As a show of his appreciation, Bob was bringing Jake down to New Orleans to see the much-awaited rematch between Muhammad Ali and Leon Spinks at the Superdome. Knowing I was a longtime fight fan and had a special connection to the city, he had asked me to join them. Harvey Keitel, another extraordinary talent from the Scorsese circle, would be coming too. Bob thought Harvey and I would make the whole trip more fun. Because Jake was there, it would be work for Bob, but he didn't want it to be all work. He made it sound so inviting. We're gonna let the good times roll. I'd just spent a week of sleepless nights at the Telluride Film Festival, and I was feeling tired in my bones. But between the fight and the chance to be back in New Orleans, it was an offer I couldn't refuse. Bob and Harvey met me at my hotel later that afternoon. I didn't know Harvey as well, but he seemed like a terrific guy. If Marty and Bob loved Harvey, I wanted to love him too. I figured Bob would have to tend to Jake and his wife, which meant Harvey and I could get a chance to hang. Harvey had a real street quality to him, and something about him was a little bit standoffish, but that was fine. We were all a little standoffish at times. But with one another, we could sometimes let our guards down. Jake and his wife were arriving the following day, so the three of us had the night to ourselves. I told Bob and Harvey I just got word the Staples Singers are playing in town tonight. They're incredible performers and friends of mine. I'm gonna go if you wanna join me. They were in. As we arrived at the venue, I saw a familiar face coming up the street toward me. Big Chief Bo Dallas from the Wild Magnolias tribe of the Mardi Gras Indians. The tribes were an old New Orleans tradition, formed by and made up of local African Americans who had historically been shut out of the fancy, racist Mardi Gras crews. Years ago, the tribes used to meet up and battle, settling their scores in the streets. But over time, those battles had become musical.